From the studios of WXXI, this is Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. Clarinetist John Manassi is a busy guy. He teaches at two music schools, records regularly, and is the co-artistic director of the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival. And then there are his concerts, including an upcoming performance with Rochester's Amenda Quartet. Today on Backstage Pass, all five are in our studios to play Brahms and Bartok and chat. It's the Killer Bees next on WXXI. Welcome to Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. We've had the Amenda Quartet on Backstage Pass before, but today we add a little extra star power with clarinetist John Manassi. John, welcome to our studios. It's nice to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
And the rest of the quartet you've met before, but we'll meet again. We have Melissa Mattson. She's our violist.
Hi, Julia.
And we have on the cello, Mimi Wong.
Hi, Julia.
Two violinists, Patricia Sun Wu.
Good to be here.
And David Brickman.
Hey, Julia.
Nice to have you here. So, Melissa, the first muse, which this is all part of, is your brainchild. Why did you create this particular series, the first muse series?
Well, about 10 years ago, I decided that I wanted to play more chamber music. And instead of just waiting for other people to ask me, I would just go ahead and make my own series. And I had the opportunity at First Unitarian Church to start this series and just invite my friends to play.
But you don't play in every concert?
I do not play in every concert. I did not play in the trombone concert.
and we were all surprised by that.
Oh, yes.
We heard that there was an extra talent of yours. John, you,
yes,
like Melissa, are also an artistic director. In your case, it's the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival. You work with John Nakamatsu.
That's right.
How many years have you been there now?
Well, this is, our 11th season together running that festival. And, of course, it's a thrill. And I'm sure Melissa feels the same way. Not only getting to play chamber music, we feel, is sort of the cornerstone of what we do. It's just, it embodies everything about playing an orchestra, even as a soloist, because there's always collaboration. So highlights that. But in addition to playing the concerts, we get to hear great concerts. And that is the most enriching experience. So
how do you go about building a season? We'll start with you, John. How do you, and John, when you look at the calendar, say, this is how we're going to fill it?
Well, it's actually a fun puzzle because it's really our role to serve the community in Cape Cod, or I guess wherever the chamber music series is. And we try to think of different angles. Of course, repertoire, but very importantly, artists who we really believe in and we feel will collaborate well together, either formed groups or other put-together ensembles. And it's just sort of a mix and match, and we have fun doing it together because we bat around ideas, and some of them are real fails, and one of us catches it, thankfully. it's just to feel the enormous reflection back from the audience of how they appreciate the music is really about the most fulfilling thing we can hope to experience.
And what about you, Melissa? What are you looking for as you're putting together your series?
Well, I'm looking, as I'm sure John is, looking to have a mix of music, mix of repertoire, mix of performers, and what I also like to do is, at least once a year, I try to have someone write a piece for First Muse that involves the particular odd combinations I come up with, flute, bassoon, and viola, for example. I like to have the Amenda Quartet play and present quartet repertoire with other artists. And I also get ideas from colleagues who come and say, boy, I'd love to present this piece. What could we do with that?
So we're going to hear the Amenda Quartet play now with our first piece of on Backstage Pass today. We'll be hearing two different composers today. One's Brahms, one's Bartok. And we begin with the first movement of Brahms' Clarinet Quintet. John Manassi is our clarinetist, and he's joined with the Amenda Quartet on Backstage Pass.
Thank you.
The first movement of Brahms' Clarinet Quintet in B minor, opus 115. Our clarinetist today is John Manassi, and he is playing with the Amenda Quartet. This is a beautiful piece of music, John. It is autumnal in feel and very important to those people who love Brahms because it reinvigorated his career.
Absolutely. I look at these late Brahms revelations. First of all, as we all know, he had retired from composition. He told his publisher at Simrock, "I'm done." But then what relights his creative imaginings is, believe it or not, a clarinet player. Not a great opera, not a great violinist, but a clarinetist. And he had such admiration for this man, Richard Mühlfeld, that he wrote the trio, this quintet, and two sonatas. And for me, as you said, they typify autumnal. And it's hard to really separate when you talk about Brahms and his music from his relationship to Clara Schumann. And for me, these are his last love letters to her, pretty much. I mean, it's just full of the romanticism and longing, and typifies sort of the unresolved love between the two of them.
Such long lines. Mm-hmm. When do you breathe?
Well, fortunately, we learn how to circular breathe these days. But, you know, as long as they are singing lines, so there are natural drops in the music where one should recede. And as you noticed in this piece, Brahms uses the clarinet as sort of an integral part of the ensemble. So we as clarinets need to be careful to not protrude entirely. It's masterful.
When you talk about these love letters mm-hmm. between Brahms and Clara, mm-hmm. One of the things that pops out here is this mm-hmm. conversation that you and the first violin,
Absolutely.
David, have, this beautiful conversation that the two of you share in this piece. When you go about playing this piece, do you also walk in as love letters? I mean, is that what you heard as well?
Well, I'm not such a programmatic minded person. I really think mostly just in terms of the music. I'm the guy who can never remember the lyrics but can always remember the tune. I think maybe I was a born instrumentalist and not meant to be a singer, but I love the piece, but I usually am not thinking of historical context, certainly not as I'm playing it. That can be part of the preparation, but once I get to the stage or the studio in this case, it's just imagining sounds and hoping that what's in my mind is coming out of this box that we hold.
Now, coming up next, we're going to hear a movement from Something Patty of a very different ilk, a very different animal entirely, the Bartók String Quartet No. 2. His language is very different, Bartók's language for string quartet. How would you describe it?
It is very different, the scale patterns that you hear Bartók use, and the rhythmic patterns are quite different from Brahms. But I would actually say that Bartók's language is born out of Romanticism. It's a common conception that Bartók is very modern and primitive sounding. I think this might have been, it can be traced back to a short piano piece he wrote where I forget what the title is. It's like Barbaric or Barbaro or something like that. And people just associate barbarism with his music. But if you listen to this first movement that we're going to play, there's a lot of singing and a lot of heart-wrenching motives and really a lot of yearning that you can kind of trace back to music of Brahms.
So we will listen to that yearning now as the Amenda Quartet play the first movement of Bartók's String Quartet No. 2, Opus 4. This is Backstage Pass. We are live from Studio E.
Thank you. Thank you.
The first movement of Bartók's String Quartet No. 2, Opus 4, played for us by the Amanda Quartet on Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres, the Amanda Quartet, and John Manassi, the clarinetist, are in studio. Mimi, the last time you were here, a different bee was lurking in the room, Beethoven.
Beethoven and Bartók, those are the two big things. Two of the big composers in string quartet writing. So the Bartók, when we were doing our Beethoven cycle last year, a lot of people at the concerts asked us, well, when are you going to do a Bartók cycle? So the Bartók six quartets are just as important to the quartet literature as Beethoven's. There are a lot of similarities, even though there are only six of them and not the 16, but they span his whole career. They're all very, very different in structure and in character and in moods. It really shows his development as a composer over his lifetime. And he spent a lot of time in the countryside in Hungary. Well, one of his life's missions was to write, to capture all of the folk songs of his native land and in Central Europe and in Northern Africa too. And so he spent a lot of time writing down a lot of these melodies and then going into the carrying around an old recording device, some kind of wax cylinder, which the guys in the booth I'm sure know much more about than I do. But like David was saying, this thing I guess was really heavy.
Yeah, right? carrying it into the countryside was no joke. They didn't have iPhones in their pockets back in the day.
You had to work to get that music. What was your takeaway from the Beethoven cycle, Melissa, once you finished it?
Oh, it was such an incredible endeavor and I think a great accomplishment. I think that we grew as a quartet. We had started this project 5 or 6, 7 years ago, and our normal routine was we would get together and rehearse every now and then, and we'd play a Beethoven quartet every 6 or 8 months. So to have put them all together and to play them within the span of 10 months brought us together as a quartet.
Now, you have all been in the same town, time to rehearse. But John
yes.
has to blow into town. And how much rehearsal time are you going to get?
Well, fortunately, since I teach at Eastman, I was able to coordinate some rehearsals with my teaching schedule. But funny you should mention it, because what was yesterday like? We were supposed to rehearse yesterday, but flight cancellation, flight delays, I didn't get until midnight. But we found time to rehearse right before this. And
I get this feeling, particularly when you were talking about chamber music festivals, such as the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival. You chamber musicians need to be pretty fast on your feet. You need to work fast.
Well, that's the magic of what we do. It's basically our minds are intertwined while we're playing, and we're really reacting to each other. We are consummate multitaskers, and we love doing this.
Well, we have some multitasking happening now as the Amanda Quartet and John Manassi again join forces now for the third movement of Brahms' Clarinet Quintet in B minor. This is Backstage Pass.
Thank you.
The third movement of Brahms, clarinet, quintet in B flat, opus 115. The Amanda Quartet we're playing, and our clarinetist is John Manassi. John, the last time we heard your voice on our speaking voice on our airwaves, it was to chat with your son, Alec, as From the Top came to Rochester, New York.
Wow. Special privilege as a dad to do that.
So... Yeah. How is Alec? What's he doing?
Alec is amazing. As I say, I want to be like Alec when I grow up. He is a freshman now at Juilliard and doing beautifully.
Did you ever teach him?
Well, as I say, he always has me, but he's had several teachers, and he's studying currently with Alan Kay at Juilliard. And I would say the answer to that question is definitely. I have taught him.
Were you taken aback when he chose the clarinet?
Well, I did everything to dissuade him, Julia. You know, it just didn't work. He begged and begged and begged, and I got a mouthpiece for. I said, okay, you can play one note. And I handed him the clarinet, and I said, just make this face and do this. And he got the most beautiful sounding one note, and I just smacked my forehead, and I said, oh, no, here we go.
You lost the battle
right. In
one note.
Right.
Well, you know, now he's going to Juilliard, mm-hmm. where you also attended. And you also teach at Juilliard and the Eastman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that?
Well, airplanes, they work very well. And I've been, you know, lucky enough to teach here at Eastman for two decades already. So it's been working fine. And it's sort of a thrill. We've been calling Alec either 10 or 11 at Juilliard, because our whole family, as you mentioned, we're all from this musical family. So my mother-in-law, father-in-law, my two sisters-in-law, my wife, me, and nephew Julian, who I believe was on your show. I have another nephew there now. There's Alec, and my daughter went to pre-college, so it all adds up.
So when you have, and we have a room full of teachers here, mm-hmm. we have a lot of teachers mm-hmm. in the room. Mimi, when you have a kid who's wildly talented in music, what do you tell said student about the future of a musician in the world today?
I think if you want to be a musician, you have to just be able to not do anything else. There's nothing else you can possibly do. Yeah, there are a lot of fields that are really hard and really challenging, but if it's something you love and it's something you really want to do and you want to work hard, like in any field, you go for it. And you do your best. You know, you do your best. You try your best. And there are lots of fields are really difficult. But if that's something you love and that's something you have to do, and you can't imagine not playing in your life, well, then you do it.
No, actually, David, you do two things. You're a musician, and you own your own business.
That's true. Patty and I are entrepreneurs.
So tell us about your business.
Well, we own a business called Body Mind Float Center, which is a spa is probably the nearest thing you could say. But we have a branch in Syracuse and Rochester, and right now my life is divided between taking care of the business and rehearsing Bartok.
It sounds ideal. Our guests today are the Amanda Quartet and John Manassi, and we have more Bartok. We'll be listening to the second movement of Bartok's String Quartet, number 2, opus 4. You are listening to Backstage Pass at WXXI. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bartok's second string quartet, and that's the second movement, played by the Amanda Quartet on Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres, and a big picture question now for John Manassi. John, you and John Nakamatsu took over a pre-existing chamber festival.
Correct.
And started reshaping it. So what is your big picture for where you want the Cape Cod Chamber Music Festival to go?
Well, that's a great question. It was started by a favorite teacher and then colleague, friend of mine, Sam Sanders, 38 years ago. And he was my chamber music coach at Juilliard. But we sort of are following his vision and enjoying seeing the growth of this festival serve the community. And now what has happened is people are planning vacations from around the country to come to Cape Cod to enjoy this chamber music festival. So I think that's sort of the most gratifying thing for us. It's no longer just the Cape Cod community, but around the country to see these people planning their summers to hear this great music.
Now, Melissa, you started your first Muse from the ground up.
Yes.
So has your vision for First Muse altered from when you started it to where you're hoping it'll go next?
I honestly haven't given that a whole lot of thought. I enjoy the way it's going right now. And, you know, three concerts is enough for me and enough for the community, I think, with everything else that's going on. And I would love to just keep going.
John, is there a wish list? Do you have a bucket list of performers you haven't gotten yet to play?
Well, there's always that. You know, we keep trying. And we are so lucky and blessed to have all the people who have attended really want to come back. So we've had so many great quartets there. We continue to present them, and we're persistent if they're people we really want, and ultimately we succeed. And as I said, they frequently reattend. So.
And David, what about the Amanda Quartet as a group? What is your big picture? What's down the road for you?
Now I'm glancing over at my colleagues with questioning eyes, wondering if they can telepathically tell me what our big picture is. I don't know. We're just kind of taking it a season at a time. You know, life sometimes interferes with art. And for example, when Patty and I opened our Syracuse branch, that just took a lot of time. And so this season, we're just playing a couple of concerts. Last season, we did the whole Beethoven cycle. And
I'd like to do the Beethoven cycle again. I'd like to put that out there.
Yeah, I think we all
anybody
agree
want
with
a
that.
Beethoven
we would
cycle?
All love to do it again.
Yeah, that's not the kind of repertoire you finish up with. Okay, well, got that squared away. Let's go on to the next thing. That's why we wanted to do it. The depth is so great that we can dig into it forever.
It's something that has lingered in your hearts. Mm-hmm. I would like to thank you all very much for coming in and chatting and performing Bartok and Brahms with us today. I'm Julia Figueres. This is Backstage Pass. Our executive producer and director is Gene Fisher. Our audio technician is Andrew Croucher, with help from Robert Braden. Our intern is Ezekiel Starling. I'm the host and producer, Julia Figueres. Again, thanks to John Manassi and the Amanda Quartet. Backstage Pass is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting. This is Classical 91.5 and 90.3.